Great. So our topic today is a follow-up to last week. I came across this book because of it being one of the highly recommended books by Ray Higdon, and I have so much respect for him when I heard him at the boot camp here live, the social media boot camp, and he just was a really honoring guy, and I was pleased with his behavior and how he taught and trained and his disposition. So when he mentioned these were, somebody asked him what his favorite books were, this was one, and I went out and bought it, and after reading the first part of it, I was overwhelmed. I shared that with you last Monday at our Monday call. I did part one was kind of the foundation of the whole purpose behind his book and the foundation of working with why twos versus why not twos, how we allow our conscious state, which is where the why twos are held. But what happens is we self-destruct with our subconscious state, which is where we hold all of our why not tos. It's head trash, it's negative self-perception, all these things that go on in our life that hold us back. And then we think that if people just teach us how to succeed, we'll be fine. But the problem is you're trying to solve a why to problem, or I should say a why not to problem, with a how to, and that never works, never works. So last week we went through a lot of great information, right, in our call, and I'll just highlight some of that. Some of that information was just, I already talked about how we self-sabotage, right, and we work against ourselves with our subconscious. Many of us hold what we call a success disorder. It happens when a person develops a deeply negative self-belief, which is what we talk about head trash being, that's those negative self-beliefs, and unconsciously develops a behavior marked by an aversion or pushing away of success. That's our success disorders that we have, and so we have to avoid that. He talked about, there's in his book, The Secret Code of Success, there's seven hidden steps to more wealth and happiness. And last week we talked about step one, which was affirmations. And what was the whole precept behind that? Was the concept that we've been trained and taught to use affirmations for years in network marketing, where we write down statements of what we want to be. You know, we write statements of it and directing us, and we just keep reading them every day, and somehow filling our brain with these statements is supposed to help catapult us forward. And a lot of people say, well, I've been doing that for 10 years and my life hasn't changed. Now, there can be a lot of reasons why your life hasn't changed, but the number one way is you're not taking the activities to change it. But affirmations in themselves don't really work, is his presupposition, because he said, you know, our brain doesn't work on taking in statements. Our brain works on what? The human thought process is what? It's one of asking and searching for answers to questions. So if that's what our brain really works on, then statements won't work as advertised, because they're just statements. We don't believe them. So why don't we let our brain go into a search engine mode? So that's what he talked about, affirmations, right? Affirmations. That's forming questions that support where we want to go. So he gave some examples of that, but the whole concept to me was just brilliant. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to do. In fact, I already started working on some for myself just to watch myself develop, and how to move us out of bad habits into better habits, into good habits, right? And that's what we want to do. So we need to ask ourselves what we want and then form questions around it as if we already had it. And that's what affirmations are all about. And then, give yourself to the question and then take new actions based on your new assumptions of life. And that will totally change your life. If you just took step one, which was last week's overview, you could make remarkable advances in your life that you had never seen before. It's a new way of looking at it. I think it's amazing. I had a lot of respect for that, and I love the rest of the book as well. There are a lot of other steps. So let's jump in, because it took us last week one session to cover the foundational work and then the step one, which is affirmations. And this week we're going to cover the rest of his book, going through steps 2 through 7. So here we go. Outline for today. Step 2 is called loving mirrors and safe havens. So, you know, how he sets this up, he says, when we look in a mirror, what do we see? We see ourselves. We don't see ourselves as anyone else sees us. We see ourselves as how we see ourselves. But the problem is this, that the way we see ourselves is what's been holding us back forever in our life, right? Because the worst person to really know what you're truly capable of is you, because if you really knew that, you would be performing at that level. So using us as a person to get feedback, to set goals for our lives and do all the things that we need to do is kind of a ludicrous activity, because we just keep self-sabotaging ourselves. Because, again, with our eyes, the only one we can see is ourselves by looking in a mirror. But we can never see our eyes. That's an intriguing thing he brought up, right? Who can see our eyes? The only people that can see our eyes are people outside of us, people that we know. And when we're not using just our own eyes, we have a distorted vision of who we are. Otherwise, we would be something else, right? We have this negative reflection, which he calls head trash. We talked about that the first step, but he reiterates that throughout the entire book, that we carry this negative reflection of ourselves. So why don't we believe in ourselves? Because life's happened. You know, we have all these things that have happened to us in life, and things that are even outside our control. People have subconsciously fed us information. There's a couple of great books out there about that. I love, reading about it, because it's amazing how we get these memes put in our head from little kids. You know, just little things that people see, like money doesn't grow on trees. Just that one statement programmed us. This is part of your head trash. Because our parents didn't, they weren't trying to give us head trash. They just didn't see what they were doing. You know, all my grandkids today, I teach them money grows on trees. If you just have to figure out a way to pick it. But money's prolifically out there. We see multi-billionaires being created at 19, 21, 25 years old. So trust me, money grows on trees. It's out there. But parents use that to try to get you to go to college and work hard in school and everything else, because they wanted to direct your activities. Well, too bad they set up a negative perception of money in our lives, a scarcity mentality. So you notice that these are just an example, some of the memes, how a curiosity kills a cat. How many times did your parents tell you that? What's wrong with being curious? It's one of the most critical things we can do in our life to grow. We're not curious, we stay stuck. So we really didn't want to tell our kids curiosity kills a cat, but it's a phraseology that just has been around for years and people pick up on use on it. So many of those things, they program us, and we're programmed and all this stuff, and that's our perceptions. So we don't want to be relying on ourselves for perceptions and moving forward, goals that we build, all those kind of things. It's the wrong place to be. And Noah's brilliant at this, because for anyone to break through and become greater than what they perceive themselves to be, they need to find people outside of them that have what? A person that has unconditional support that's going to cause you to do things you couldn't do before. He calls this concept loving mirror principle, loving mirrors of your life. So instead of a mirror being something you see yourself in, you have a loving mirror. It's somebody who loves you, somebody who, and it doesn't mean love, we can take that in many different meanings, but it doesn't have to be a spouse. It can be somebody that cares deeply for you. I love everybody because that's what I'm told to do, right? And I truly want the best for everybody. I love contributing to people. So I love people. So it's like finding somebody like that in your life who actually gives you, shows this unconditional love. Right? And unconditional support. And he used as an example the death crawl in Facing the Giants. And some of you, if you haven't seen that movie, definitely go see the movie. It's terrific. But it's how this guy was going across, his coach told him to walk across the field on his hands and feet and carry a guy on his back. And the guy didn't even think he could make it 1 inch, right? But because all of us, if we rely on ourselves, what we think we can do, we fail. Because we let that little voice talk in our head, oh, you really can't do that, oh, that's not going to be worth it, oh, blah, 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 right? Because we're getting that, negative reflection again. But if we have somebody supporting us who has unconditional support for us, who sees our capacity, I know you can do this. When people do that, all of a sudden you're double down. It's almost a dare, a double down dare. It's almost like, wow, if they know I can do it, I'm going to prove them they're right. And we go through pain and agony, and we do things that are far beyond what we considered ourselves capable of. So getting that unconditional support, who are those people in your life? Someone who believes in you more than you do. Family members, if you didn't happen to grow up in a family that was really supportive, there are people out there that truly believe in you more than you do. I'm one of those people, I know, for a lot of people, because I truly believe every single person on this call could be a presidential director. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. It's not just, I'm not saying that just to be, you know, funny or just to be, you know, make a statement that has no foundation in it. I truly believe everyone on this phone call has the capacity to be presidential director. Those are the people you're going to want to find in your life, that loving mirror, that somebody who believes in you more than you believe in you, who sees your capacity and potential and holds you to a higher standard, keeps you accountable. That's what you want in your life. They're called loving mirrors. And you want to find people in your life. If it's not family, then it's friends. It'll amaze you how many people really stand in that role with you if you give them the opportunity. Because the one who sees ourselves in our weakest state is ourselves. So somebody outside of you is always going to hold you at a higher standard. They're going to see you and have more belief in you than you have in yourself, because we have all that negative reflections. So he says, trying to succeed, I love this quote I put in the outline today, trying to succeed without support of others is like standing on a gold mine and digging it with a teaspoon. Huh, good luck on that, right? How are you going to get ahead in life if you don't have support of others? So how many on this call today can stand up and say, I have a great team of support? That's a good question for you. And if you don't, why not? Go find it. It's out there. It's out there. It's for you. And maybe one of the reasons you're on Mary Jo's Monday call every Monday, because that's a team of support for you. And this very much well can be that kind of support for you. But it's not going to be enough, because you need that person in your life on a daily basis, weekly basis, somebody that's really going to impact you and drive you, because you want to, you're out there to prove that they're right. Their belief in you is right. So if Mary Jo telling you, I believe you can be presidential on this call, is enough for you, then I'm going to see you walk across stage in a year or two as presidential director, right? Amen to that. Yeah. Okay, exercises. He gives us exercises about how to excavate and evict our negative reflection. And one of them is making two columns. You put negative reflections on one, and on the other side you write on the title, it's called Authentic Self. And all your head trash that's going on for you goes under negative reflection. And then over here you put a statement, a corresponding statement of your authentic self. So that's a great one. Another exercise is getting out of darkness exercise. Who, what, when, where, why? You answer all those questions. And I'm not going to go through all these exercises. They're in the book. So if you're interested in them, I promise you they would serve. He talks about, what are the five top negative signs placed on me? So if you had to pick and said, okay, what are the signs that people are placing on me, right? What signs are on, and you can say, what do you mean by signs? Signs like, I'm not enough, I'm ugly, I'm stupid, I would be happier with, people will be happier without me. What are the five negative signs placed upon you, you know? And how do you reverse those signs? Who you really are? And then who am I going to share this information with? When will I share it with them? Why? Because we need a support team. Again, goes back to the support team. Yep. So those are important that you do that as well. And then he has seven key support questions. What does unconditional support mean to me? You need to answer these questions, and they're in the book as well. What support do I need most in my life right now, in my business? Who would I like to give me that support? What's in it for them to support me? List the benefits for that individual. What would I like to hear from the key people in my life? In other words, what do I want people to be saying about me? If there were just one thing I'd ask of them, what would it be? And then what actions am I willing to take to get the support I need? Those are seven key support questions to help you move forward and get the support that you need. So when then the question becomes, so when I walk up to people, how do I talk to people, you know, who are around me, who are part of my, you know, loving mirrors? How do I relate to these people? Because, you know, changing your language, coming from a place of gratitude, isn't something that happens in 5 seconds. It's, we need to learn and develop how to do that, right? And it's something that new languaging might have to happen in your life, because, you know, you really, you want to be able to communicate with these people in a way that's really, you know, honoring. And so asking support to people, loving music in your life, some of the questions you could ask them without being sounding like Sherlock Holmes, you can ask them things like, what do you get out of me being in your life? So find out the answers to those questions. Some of them you're afraid to ask people. But if you don't know what they're getting out of you being a friend in their life, you need to know that, don't you feel? And you go, no, Joe, but I've been a really bad friend. There's that negative reflection going on. See, what's holding you back is the negative reflections that you've just bought into and you've sold out to. And until you do something about that, I don't care how many goals you write, how many affirmations, none of that matters. You got to reprogram all of that, and you have to start from the perspective of, how do I get clarity. It's not about beating up on yourself. It's about disposing of the trash that's already in your head. So asking people, what do you get out of me being in your life? What have you gained from our relationship? Please be specific. What would be missing if I weren't in your life? What do you see as my strengths? What can I do differently to improve our relationship? Isn't that a beautiful question? If there were one word or phrase you'd use to describe our relationship, what would it be? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate our relationship? If anything less than a 10, your next question is, what can I do to make it a 10? That's a great question. Key questions, yeah, right out of the book. Key questions to ask people that are for mirrors in your life. So you want to learn to come, basically it's learning to come from a place of where? A place of authenticity. More important than what you ask, you want to come from a place of authenticity. And most people in this world are just silently aching for simply to be heard, right? Not being made wrong. And we've been so used to making people wrong. And every time I hear somebody do that, I'll take them back at some point in a conversation, whether it's by email or messaging or, you know, one-on-one face conversation. I'll pull them aside at some point and I'll say, are you open to have some feedback? That's a great lead-in question, so you can't really give feedback to people that aren't open. Once they give you the authority to do that, they typically will listen, right? And then I'll talk about the incredible empowering impact it is, instead of, you know, telling people, making people wrong, right? What can we do? We just want to really listen and hear and give, even if you disagree with the person, don't make them wrong. I mean, you don't have to have this huge battle. Oh, my gosh, in the political world today, you see it every 5 seconds, right? I mean, we just get hammered with all this stuff. It causes my whole innards to ache because I see people getting so angry and feisty over things they really don't have a lot of control over. It's about, we all have our own beliefs on those issues, but we don't need to go out there and pummel people because they believe differently from what we do. And we have a tendency to do that. It's a human nature thing, negative human nature. But it's a choice, so we can choose out of it. So this is all about, what are we doing? The whole thing about getting people as loving mirrors and giving people as safe havens, oh, let's distinguish those. I think I did a bad job of that. Loving mirrors is that unconditional support, you know, that loving mirrors, that people are going to give you feedback. They're going to help you be the best you can be. Okay, because they love you and they see you a greater, so they're going to help you set goals for yourself because they see. And then the safe havens are someone who sees your capacity and potential and holds you to a higher standard. So it's more of an accountability. Your safe haven is an accountability partner, whereas your loving mirror is somebody that shows unconditional love for you and helps you overcome negative reflection. So you see the distinction. A loving mirror will help you overcome negative reflection, unconditional support, and a safe haven is somebody who will hold you to a higher standard. They're gonna push you to it, and they're gonna be an accountability partner to you. So you've got those two in your life that you're looking for: safe havens and loving mirrors. Can one be both? I think so, but I think you want to set up alternative ones as well. Safe haven might be somebody in your business that holds you to higher standard. Your loving mirror might be a family member that can you know, unconditionally loves you and supports you to be the best you can be. All right, so that's step two, great concepts in life. Step three, systems of support. He talks about, you know, when you look, he draws the analogy of a house. Our house, we have the shell of the house, the structure, and then we have the systems that run the house, right? You have the plumbing and the electricity and all those things. Well, we're the same way. Our body is built a structure and systems. So we have the structure of our physical body, and then we have systems in our life. But most people don't even have an idea of the systems of their lives. So how do you fix a system if it's broken? We know how to fix our broken air conditioner. Do we know how to fix a broken people system in our life? Intriguing, isn't it? It's an intriguing way of looking at it. So let's talk about the five systems: people system, activity system, environment system, introspection system, and simplify system. And if these aren't getting attention in your life, you can see where you might be going awry. If any one of these aren't working either in your life or in your business, you're going to pay a price for it. You'll sense something wrong, but you won't be able to put your finger on it. How many of us have done that? Well, I feel like I could do better in my business, but I don't know what's holding me back. Here's some analytics for you to help you understand that. Our people system, which is the most essential. Why? Because people are most important to us than anything else in life. And that's the purpose of our beingness, is people. Being in relationship, right? So this one, put your highest high on. If you don't want to figure out all the rest of them, you definitely want to figure out this one. He uses the five A's. He talks about acknowledge. Our willingness is to acknowledge. Yeah. Why is it we're always ready for others to acknowledge us, but not vice versa? And boy, that hit home. You know, that's a biggie for me that I continue to work on all the time. Because those of us that are really high-powered, we love getting the positive feedback, but the issue is how much positive feedback are we giving back to other people? And we need to step into that in a big role, and for me, it's a big gap that I'm working on, and I've been working on for years, but it's huge for us to see that. Are you just always in search of reinforcement, positive reinforcement, or are you a person that is consistently acknowledging others? Because if you want it that badly, guess what everybody else wants? The same thing. You want to build relationships. You want to build long-term relationships with people. Acknowledgement is crucial. Two is ask. Why are we afraid to ask people for support? So it's just basically maybe your why two isn't big enough. So you're playing too shallow a game in life. And that's a choice you can make, but that's nothing to do with this book. Book is about how to be tremendously successful in life, and that's not just measured by money by any means, but it's about putting yourself out there and stretching yourself. If you're not willing to grow and stretch, then this book isn't for you either. But, you know, we want to ask people, find support, get support for what we do. Accept support from others too, which is a higher level than to ask. You must accept it. A lot of people will ask for support, but they the minute you start opening your mouth and you're giving them feedback, they shut you down. They want to make you wrong. They don't want to listen. And listening is critically important. Even if we disagree with it momentarily, listen to the value it is in your life and then analyze why are we disagreeing with it. See, we don't want to do that because that questions our basic concepts that we have that are the ones that are holding us back where we are today. But we are so entrenched in them, we don't want to allow new insight to question them so that we can move forward and think differently. So we don't change that. It's a stinking thinking that causes us our problems. So we want to listen and accept feedback. And maybe we don't understand it in the moment or it's conflicting. Then we go back and we analyze the conflict that they've created for us instead of just dismissing it. Accountability. Right? Critical for us to be accountable, right? Instead of us waiting until when the money rolls in, then I'll be accountable or then I'll do XYZ, we want to go, no, I need to be doing XYZ today, because then otherwise the money will never roll in for me. So know what comes first, that horse before the cart. And then affirmations, we talked about this already in our first exercise, that asking those questions to ourselves instead of making statements, asking questions in the phraseology of the statement. So letting ourselves enjoy it, right? And he gives exercises in the book as well for this whole concept of building better systems and acknowledging the systems in your life. I found it to be fascinating. I think it's a great, you know, opportunity for people who really want to move forward with these things that are holding us back. Installing the 5 A's in our people system, we definitely want to do that. So it's important for us to, you know, use all those 5 A's every day of our life. With respect to activities, right, in terms of our activities in our life, which is our second system, we want to do what? He says talk about doing taking a piece of paper and just writing on a piece of paper in column A, what activities will fill my tank? In column B, what activities do I want less of that are going to empty my tank? So there's activities I'd love to do more of and ones I'd love to do less of. And then looking at our resources we have, time, energy, and money, and which one's most important? Time, always, because we can never get it back. So fill your tank with productive time, activities that move you forward with what you want, towards what you want. So you just, when you get done with the columns, you analyze what reasons you've given for not doing what's in column A, and then you need to analyze why all those reasons are invalid. Like we say, we don't have time. Well, that's a bunch of hoot, right? Yeah. You know, every time people, and he said the same thing I tell people all the time, which I loved. I keep looking at things. There's so many things in his book that are consistent. Maybe that's one of the reasons I love it so much, with things that I've done and said. But he said, don't ever use the words, I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to do that. Something I tell people all the time. He said, never use those words. Because it's never about time. It's about whether it's a priority in your life. So every time somebody says, well, why don't you join a Bible study? Well, I don't have time. No, this is what you want to say instead. It's not important to me. It's not a priority. And watch what happens to your brain. You go, oh, my gosh, what did I just say? Do I really mean that? And I think I've told you guys before that when I gave all my health talks years ago, I used to tell about how, you know, having your own garden. I said, I don't have time. And when I learned this lesson, I started saying, well, having a garden is not a priority of mine. And I went, what? Of course it's a priority. So I immediately the next year had gardens. And now I have 3 gardens outside. And I work on them every morning at 6 o'clock. I get up, work out, and then I go, when I work out, I say I've not been as diligent as I need to be, but I'll go out and work a half hour in the garden. Because you know what? You always have time for things that are priorities. So don't ever say, I don't have time. Don't use that excuse. It's just a big, bad excuse. It's not a priority. Not important to me. See what happens to you. You'll change. So anyway, so you want to go over your columns of what's valid, what's not, what activities in B can you just do and get over? Because so many times we have people, activities that we don't want to do. And if we leave them on our list, what happens? They rob us of energy. So do the things that eat the frog first. That's a good book for those of you who have that problem. And then delegate. Learn how to delegate. How can I give these activities away? How can I get other people to do these activities for me, right? And that's important as well. And you can bless people through delegation. He talked about the Freedom Power Pack for time management. That's actually something that he sells on his website if you're interested in looking at that. And I don't want to get much into it further than that. But it's if you really have a time management problem, you need to tackle that. I talked to somebody, a presidential, the other day, and he said, no, other people control my day. I don't control it. And I said, well, you better get a grip on that or you're going nowhere. You never, ever give your time to somebody else. That's your power to create. When you allow other things to dictate your days, you've lost control. And now you want to blame that as a reason why you're not getting anything done. You're choosing to give your power away. So choose differently. Another thing he said was get out of your familiar zone. And, you know, no such thing as a comfort zone. That is exactly what Mary Jo's been saying for years, except I renamed it myself years ago. Some of you will remember this. I renamed it about 10 years ago. I said, you know what? I realized there's nothing comfortable about a comfort zone. Nothing. People in a comfort zone are miserable. They just don't want to, they don't like risk. They don't want to get outside the box. They're not going to take chances. They're not going to try to grow and learn. They've just said, I can survive at this level of pitiful existence. But it's not comfortable. For the most part, people aren't, so why do they call it comfort zone? It really, for me, I renamed it, I called it the known zone. It's the known zone. It's what you know. What's uncomfortable is what you don't know. Are you kidding? Well, I want you, everyone on this call, to commit to yourself. I am going to be totally comfortable with finding out things I don't know. I'm going to search in life to find out. And that's what this book's about. It's a great book to find out things you don't know. But get out of that comfort zone. Installing your environment system. He just talks about our home, our work, you know, all that environment. You want to look around and say, you know, what do I need? What's going on? I analyze it. And he says, people say they need money. He says, that's wrong because that's just head trash. What it is it's the number emotional number one fear and resentment. One is about the future and the other is about the past. That's what we, right? And we get stuck. We spiritual. What's holding us back in our spiritual is we don't believe miracles can happen. God has forsaken me. Good things happen. Oh, God's with me. Bad things happen. Oh, God's forsaken me. That's a lie. We lie to ourselves. But it sounds good. It sounds good. So you need to clean up the office, throw stuff away, clear. He said, simplify your life. That's next, right? And he said, also the introspection step, you need to really get that. That's a great part of his book. He has quite a few pages on that. But the introspection part, I got a cat attack. The introspection part is about every day you need to spend time in introspection. And that means journaling, meditating, prayer, reading sacred literature, the Bible, walking in nature, notice gardening, one of my tasks is I love that too. So I have quite a few of those, but we want to definitely be doing that every single day. It's our quiet time that really helps us get clarity. And then simplify your life. Delegation is critical. I'm reading a book right now called Simplify by Bill Hybels, Hybels. One of my people in my downline, Maryland, introduced that to me, and it's a great book. So if this is a problem for you, trust me, you need to read the book. Evaluating tasks, it's, you know, who do I delegate to? All of those things are critical. And one of the things he said at the end of this chapter, which I wanted to share with you, was he said he has a clinic now. And in his clinic, he says, the number one thing that we do, our number one goal in the clinic, the mantra of the clinic is, we are creating a nation and a world of loving mirrors. Isn't that cool? I thought that was just cool. Okay, let's go on to step four, goal-free zones and goal replacement surgery. Now, right up front, I want everybody to get this. He's not saying don't make goals, don't set goals. He's just saying that two things are critical about our goals. Number one, we've got to have goal-free zones. In other words, we got to take time off. We got to give ourselves permission to stop acting out the goals and stop setting goals. So we need to unplug from work. We need to do it for many reasons. His list was avoid burnout, to get it that your worth doesn't come from your achievements. Here's a concept for some of you. Maybe you just read this one to yourself every day. Your worth just is. I think that's a great statement. A lot of people that have issues with self-worth, your worth just is. Great statement. The other reason we need the goal-free zone to reduce the effects of information overload, we're in a society where it's phenomenal the amount of bits of data we get every day, and we need to stop and listen to our authentic self. And, oh, that's number four, reconnect with authentic self, right? The best ideas come when we're relaxed, not when we're at work. So we need all this, we need time, we need quiet time is what he's saying. He needs goal-free zone. Don't be driven 24/7. And then he talks about, he gives exercise on, you know, how to establish this for yourself, and I wrote some of those out and see in the outline. And some of them are unusual. What are my favorite goal-free zone activities? I answered that. I said I love puzzles. I love sports. I love gardening. I love Bible time. I love, you know, I love being in contribution. I love going out and visiting people and doing visits in the hospital and retirement homes and things like that. That gives me great joy. So there are a lot of fun activities for me that And notice my activities, because my number one core value is contribution. Notice how many of those apply, because I get exhilarated. You want to pick up activities that support you in feeling the best you possibly can feel. And that means they need to be consistent with your value structure, right? So you need to know that. And when do I enjoy them? What negative beliefs do I have about goal-free zones? You know, that I'm lazy. People think, oh, I have to work. I have to do. I have to keep working. I got to do this. Blah, blah, blah. Their beliefs aren't true. So stick to your goal-free zones. He also had the comment there. He said, if you want to be rich and happy, you cannot be normal. Normal is one of my most hated words on the face of the earth. I laugh about that when he said that. I said, oh, I fight that all the time. He said, why not take on the mantra, I may be weird, but you are broke. In other words, you know, weirdness is what leads us to prosperity. Lies we tell ourselves, I don't deserve it, I can't afford it, I don't have time, I don't have the money. Write yours down and then answer. Very critical exercise. Why are these lies? And if you don't have the answer to that, talk to somebody who can give you those answers. But the answers are within you. And you need to be aware of that negative reflection we carry versus our authentic self. Beware of those things. Dump excuses. That's clear. Excuses will destroy you. And Rich, he made the point. He goes, you know, rich and happy people are not smarter than you. They just develop the habits of being rich and happy. It's just habits. Most people work harder and harder just to get the same results. That's not going to work. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, right? You can't work harder and harder at something that's given. We're like driven that way. We need to change. We need to get advice. We need to get support. We need to get directional. We need to start working on things that really matter. All these things need to shift in us. So we need to manage our energy, our physical energy, emotional, mental, and spiritual energy. All needs to be managed. When you perform goal replacement surgery, what are some of the things we do? And we talk about this with me when I do my end-of-year goals. We talk about don't let other people, right? There's three kinds of bad goals, right? One of the goals is impossible goals. I'm going to be presidential by this Friday. That would be impossible for a lot of you, so why would you set impossible goals? So you want to work with somebody that's realistic to help you. You know, it stretches you, but it's realistic. Be somebody else's goals. Don't go to somebody and say, set my goals for me. We love to do that for people. Oh, you ought to be regional director by this date. You ought to be national. Don't let people set goals for you. People need to choose their goals. They need to choose the results they want to create in their life. And goals that you really don't want anymore. We change as people. So a goal that we might have had a few years back, guess what? We no longer have it because we change. So you want to make sure you're not hanging on to goals that just aren't important anymore because you're going through changes, and hopefully you're going through changes. My desire every day is to go through change. Every day I want to change because there's so much room for improvement. And then he talked about exercises and all of that stuff. You know, why do you do them, and who told you? Do they fit with the three descriptions above? What principles do you choose to live by? And Stephen Covey, he had some quotes in there about Stephen Covey and talking about, you know, if you really want to look at a principled man, go back and read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And you know, he always talked about your actions will always reveal your principles. Your goals must be consistent with your principles. So what actions can you take to replace your false goals with your true principles? Good questions to ask. Step 5, who are you trying to protect, punish, or please? He made a statement in the book, and he says, this probably sounds like the strangest sentence. He goes, protect, under the word protect, who are you trying to protect? Protect is holding us back because we are unknowingly trying to protect someone else from our success. And that's sounds like a crazy sentence, but he says, you know, people don't want to be successful. It's kind of like they don't want to be successful because they're afraid of what it would mean. It could be a spouse. It could mean no time for kids. See what we're giving the meanings that we're giving our subconscious, right? Why not to's? These are all why not to's, the hidden fears of success. So we protect ourselves from that by not being successful, right? Wow, huge aha. If that's going on for you, get it clarity on that. Who are we punish? We're trying to protect or trying to punish. Some people get mad at their parents because of XYZ, whatever reason is, so they want to punish them because they want to show up non-successful in life so that their parents can't take credit for them. The power behind that famous I'll show you, oh my gosh, this is like all, what's behind I'll show you? It's called revenge. What revenge is the lose, lose, lose. Everybody loses with it. I'll show you can be used to succeed or it can be used to fail in the lose, lose, lose scenario. He's talking about the lose. Who are you trying to please? Are you a people pleaser? Yeah. Right? You're so after getting approval from people that you stop operating from a position of power. Right? You stop yourself to please other people. So what are you really afraid of? Afraid of disapproval, of not looking good? And he said fear, the word fear, we've used this often with the words false evidence appearing real. He says that is absolutely not what fear is. Fear is an emotion, and it's caused by the expectation of pain. Fear is natural when we're not in control. But the concept of overcoming fear is exactly what we want to hang on to. We want to accept the pain we might feel as a result of our actions, right? We're willing to accept that. You might have fear of setting a goal that's so big that you fear it, but you want to say, I accept the pain that I might feel because of my actions. So now, but it's going to motivate me to move forward. Step six is find your no. This is our inability to say no. This is what he operates in this chapter on, a concept that we're unable to say no. You know, when people ask us to do things and inside our head we go, no, 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 but we nod yes. Because why? Because we don't want people not to like us. We're people pleasers. We don't know how, you know, we feel guilty if we say no to somebody. So we do things that we never should be doing. It's crazy. And this is a personality problem. It's about, oh, I want to sacrifice my life for everybody else. Really? So your voice is never heard. But you can go to the grave when you die and say, oh, but I sacrificed my life for everybody else. Really? Let me share with you the fact that the world is losing because they're not hearing your voice. If you decide not to show up on this planet, how much more could you have accomplished? Because you've been given specific gifts that the world's waiting for. So the concept of not showing up because you're a people pleaser is like wasting away a life, your life, more importantly. So you want to be able to say no. You want to be able to stand in your strength and work for you. And the three percenters, which he talks about consistently through the book, those are the people wealthy, happy and wealthy, you know, they understand prioritizing their agenda, and they have learned how to disagree without being disagreeable, which is that's a skill set, because you want to be able to learn how to say no without causing major problems. And some of you say don't know how to say no because you haven't learned the skill set yet. So there are three distinct aspects of finding your no. Find your personal no, your interpersonal no, and your global no. Your personal no, you have to look at what time, money, energy, draining activities are you doing? Why am I doing them? What's it costing me? What are better uses of my time? And then take actions to reallocate your resources to get what you want, right? And you want to be able to say no. You have to be able, that's a personal no. You have to be able to say no so you can do the things that you want. And so you get rid of this languaging about needing time, money, and energy. When you say no to things that are unimportant to you, that are less important and start prioritizing, you're going to end up getting what you want. And procrastination on getting things is caused by fear. You fear what people will say to you. You're afraid of people not liking you. It's unbelievable. You don't manage your money. You go out and spend money, blah, 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 because you have to be liked by other people. You have to go do things that they're doing. Otherwise, they won't like you. He says, you know, rich people are masterful at managing their money. Did they start once rich or long before it was this habit that helped them get there? They started when they were poor. How many stories have you heard of people that started saving pennies when they were kids and they had a bank account? Right? All of this happens, and yet we're sitting back going, well, I'll be a great manager of money when I have money. I love it when people say that they can't manage money because they don't have any. I said, I managed money when I was 12 years old, 13 years old. I had a piggy bank. I had my first bank account. My dad got me in to have a bank account to learn me how to teach me so I would learn how to save, right? I mean, all of this is important. So we need to know how to do all that managing. So that means learn how to say no, personal no's. I can say no. People say, Mary Jo, why don't you have a brand new car? No, I don't want a new car. A new car is not a reflection of who I am. In fact, it's a reflection not of my values. I remember when I bought that, my husband learned that I saw this sports car that was really cute, and he went out, and within a week, it was sitting in my driveway. And it was like a $60,000, $70,000 car, which isn't a lot of money today, perhaps, but it was ludicrous. I parked into my garage. I wouldn't even take it out for like the first month I owned it. I would drive it around, and I felt totally uncomfortable in it. Why? Because it didn't reflect my values. I said no to him 5 times at the dealership, but here was a husband that never has seen his wife ever get excited about anything material in her whole life. He doesn't know what to buy me for Christmas, for birthday presents, for whatever, right? Gardening tools would be great, right? Some of you guys know better than my own husband. But when he saw that, it was like 15 years of marriage, and this is what I needed to have. Well, the problem was within 1 year I got rid of it because it was what? It was inconsistent with my core values, and it was about my personal no. You want to be able to say no to things. Exercise for interpersonal no. Detect when people are asking you to do something, and whether your answer is yes or no, deflect it by asking a person, what exactly do you mean by that? You can find out more information about it. He says, become a detective. And reflect. Send the arrow back in synergy. I'd love to do what you're asking me, but I'm not going to be able to give it the attention it deserves. However, I may have someone who can help you. So it's like, you know, key phrases that you can say to people to get yourself out of it. He has a whole chapter, I mean, a part of the chapter on this point in of itself. If this is an area where you're having problems, you need to grapple with it and overcome it. Take charge of your life. Because, personal relationships don't need to be sacrificed because you say no. And then find your global no. And this means knowing your purpose on earth, commit to stay on track even when it's easy to fall off. You know your ultimate yes, your purpose, your mission, and keep your eyes on it. It's your global view, and your global view that you have in your life deals with integrity. Integrity is who are you, you say you are, and you simply don't deviate from that. You are who you say you are, and you simply don't deviate from that. That's your integrity. So you've got to determine first who you are. For some people, they go, well, I don't know what my global view is, Mary Jo. I don't know what my purpose is here on earth. Really? I suggest you spend some time digging in that. There's some great value exercise and things that can help you come to that. But it's important to have a global view and then stay in integrity and talk the talk, walk the walk, no cutting corners. Finally, step 7, I'm actually going to make it through this. Find your because. And most people don't know why they are here on earth. This can lead to feelings of despair, frustration, grief, right? Because if you sit back and you go, and this also gets attached to that global view concept. So there is just importance for us to really have some clarity on our because. Some people call it our why, right? It's I liked his concept of our because. In his first quote in that beginning of that chapter was from George Bernard Shaw, and it's many of you'll recognize it. He said, "This is the true joy in life, the being used for one purpose, being used for one purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one." Yeah. Recognized by yourself as a mighty one. Used for purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one. It's great languaging. George Bernard Shaw. So if we don't know why we're here on earth, we're going to lead to feelings of despair, depression, frustration, guilt, and all of that stuff is important not to be feeling, because it's going to be why not to's, right? Instead of why to's, we want to be heavily reinforcing our why to's to cause us to do things. Knowing your because helps you make you unstoppable. You know, you're going to find, you know, other leaders. You're going to become a leader because people, knowing your why and your because is going to make you a leader, because you're going to be driven to doing something and people are going to follow you just because of your drive. That's really important, because people don't follow followers, they follow leaders. And three aspects to find your because: define what your core competencies are, simply what you're good at. So you describe your strengths. I feel strong when people I trust, excuse me, told me my strengths were specific actions leaders I admire do, did, that I respect are, actions I can do to express my strengths. What are those? Document your skills. And remember, strengths and skills aren't the same, because a skill is an activity. What are you very good at? What do people say you're good at? What do you love doing? Actions you can take to increase your skills. And then define your desires. And that comes up with, you know, things that we're used to analyzing when we're looking at our whys in life. If money were no object, what would you do? You are happiest when you are excited when you, and then actions you can take to follow those dreams, right? Incredible. Great exercise. Number two, identify your avenues of expression. Reveal who you really are. Review your roles, all the roles, mom, artist, singer, Christian, whatever it might be that you are, and resolve to persist. And why do we persist? Well, Ray Hignon had a great comment when he did that training, boot camp training, and he talked about our whys, that we persist, right, because we have our because. Ray Hignon talked about, instead of focusing on that, he says, focus on who you will become. Instead of a why, because so many people put whys out there that aren't strong enough to draw them, but who you will become in the process is what you want to focus on. Who will I become? So what does that look like? Who am I at the end of this process? If I hit presidential director, I drive myself, who will I become? How will that change your life, and who will you become? And allow that to be your why. And then third, he talked about release your spirit. In fact, when he uses language, release your spirit, he said, if I could sum up the essence of the entire Secret Code of Success teaching, it would be in those three simple words: release your spirit. That's stepping into your beingness, right? Being able to play full out in life and step into your beingness. He said two sentences that describe all human emotion. When your opinion of your past, present, or future tends to be positive, you will be happy. When your opinion tends to be negative on your present, past, or future, you will be unhappy. But notice here, it's not what happened or happens to us, but rather our opinion of it. Incredible. Who has control over our opinions? We do. We form our opinions. We choose our opinions. This is the whole concept of bad things can happen to good people, but good people come out on the other side. They don't allow bad things to drag them out. They don't carry it on for years and years as some kind of major loss, because in every loss there's a gain and there's a celebration. Even my 4-year-old grandson who died a year ago in the swimming pool, that was a huge loss. But 5 children have his organs today all over the United States of America. And one of them was on his last leg of life support. He probably wouldn't have lived if Packy wouldn't have passed. So there are many positives that come out, even the most negative scenarios you can put together. And you focus on what? What is your opinion of your past, your present, or your future? So where does that leave us? We have choices to make about that. With respect to your past, of course, he's all into forgiveness. Make your list. And you're going to probably be on it of people you don't forgive about your past. and then forgive them. Your present, appreciate your present. Value what you have, not what you don't have. No matter where you are, I love this comment. No matter where you are, do you know how many people have none of the things you take for granted? Well, that's huge. That's huge. And I can show you some of those people if you want to go out evangelizing with me sometime. I can show you people that don't have anything near what you have. You don't have to wait until something's taken away from you in order to appreciate the fact that it's there. That's a very powerful statement as well. And he has exercises on appreciation, having that heart of gratitude, and this is what I call that heart of gratitude, right? Write what happens on your perfect average day. Remember we used to do the exercise, if you had all the money in the world, what would your day look like? That's not what he's asking you to do here. He's asking you to write what happens on your perfect average day. Don't worry about your idealized day. This is about describing what happens in a perfect average day when you are happy and you're doing what you really want. Another great exercise. Okay, people, that's it. Hopefully, this was a lot of information, but I'm telling you, this book, I went in last week after I did this book review. I had a meeting with Al and Chris Simons on Monday afternoon, and on my, after we got done with our meeting, which just, you know, bounced around 100 different concepts, and I told them about this book, and both of them, Al looked at Chris and said, order two. So I know they're reading it as we speak. So I just think it's an incredible book. It can change people's lives as a book. And I know a lot of books have changed my lives in different ways, but this one has so much meat to it. I'm going to just highly suggest all of you get it and work through the exercises in it. When you feel you have a stumbling block on these exercises, oh my gosh, work through them and find a buddy. Find a loving mirror to support you in that, okay? There's a great assignment for you. All right, anyone, any comments, questions, anything I can help you with? Did you enjoy the talk this morning? Quiet group, Lydia.
Hey, Mary Jo?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jane.
Hi, Jane.
I went to last week at my through my church a global leadership summit by Bill Hybels. And one of the books they had there was Simplify, and it is one I have ordered. But boy, I'm going to get this one too, because that's really what it is with me. So much so is, you know, I've struggled all the time with self-talk. So
yeah,
this
got
is,
it.
And which I'm sure pretty much everybody does. We do it. But yeah, this gave me. I've got a lot of things that you said. I put them on sticky notes on my door of my in my kitchen where I'm always cutting vegetables and doing food, you know, so I'll remember. But I'm going to get that book.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
And remember, I highly suggest you, Jane, that you find a buddy, find a loving mirror, unconditional support person to support you going through it.
Yeah, it's tough because I'm a widow and both my kids just got married. My daughter was very much she would see things. She's so observant, you know, and she's always been so helpful to me over her whole life. She's been like that.
Yeah.
But now I'm all alone at my house, and I've got to change my
thinking.
Yes. And a different life.
You just highlighted something right there.
Yeah.
Stop talking about being all alone.
Yeah. Yep.
You follow? You're not all alone. You're not all alone.
Yeah.
How can you rephrase that in your life to feed yourself better information in your brain that's going to support you moving forward? You talk about what a phenomenal support system I have in my Manatech business. What a phenomenal support system I have in my family. I have the world around me, and now it's up to me, right?
Well, you know, my kids both feel sad that they can't help mom enough. My son is in Colorado. My daughter lives here in Washington, but she's far enough away that it's difficult, you know.
Yeah, but you know what, Jane? Your kids need.
I told them? What I tell them, I said, honey, it's okay because this is just another chapter. We're just opening another chapter.
Great. You bet.
And we have to go on into the new chapter. And
you
time,
bet.
You know.
You bet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do. You definitely want to release that, because if if you see that in them, you have to be saying to yourself, oh, my gosh, this is right in target with the book Mary Jo just reviewed.
Yeah.
They're
going
to hold themselves back. This is a mind frame that's going to hold them back in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I have wonderful children who are just.
Oh, of course they're wonderful kids.
They just call me just to make sure I'm okay, you know?
Well, then maybe we release that from them, too.
Good. Yeah,
because they feel they're, you know, I don't know. You have to think that one through. I'm not suggesting you don't have a beautiful relationship with your kids, but you never want your children to worry about you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've been telling them for a long time.
That's what you don't want to happen.
Yeah.
You want your children to merely have that unconditional love that you have for them. You want it to come back your way. And worry isn't a part of it. Okay.
This is a great reminder, so I'm getting that book, let me tell you.
Amen, sister. Good.
All right.
It'll change your life.
Thank
good
you.
Job. You bet.
Thank you.
You bet.
Mary Jo?
Yeah?
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
This is Veronica. Thank you for this information. This is amazing, and I want to get the book. I just...
Noah St. John. And don't forget, you can go to manatrain.net.
Okay.
And that's where I post all my outlines, and you can also listen to last week's call. All the MP3s are there for every one of my Monday morning calls, okay?
You bet. I'm going to be doing that for this week again and last week, and I'm getting the book and finding a loving mirror.
There you go. Congrats. I love that. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Way to go, girl. Love it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you.
You too. Bless you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, everyone. Great calls. Now, next week we're going to have a special guest on our Monday call. Toni McCarthy is going to be on our call. She's a lawyer, so you can get to hear from another lawyer, but one that's really lawyering 24/7 today, unlike me. And she works at Manatech, so she's going to help us with compliance stuff. And you bring all your questions, because this is a woman you want to talk to if you have issues around what you can or can't say, blah, 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 what's going on. I mean, she's going to be a delight, okay? So I'm just looking forward to having her on the call. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, were you finished?
No, go ahead.
Okay, this is Martha, and I just want to thank you also for this information about this book, all the time you pour in, you know, to this to help us out. So thank you on behalf of all of us, and especially sharing that tragedy that happened in your life.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say to that woman, the first lady who spoke, that supporting what you said, that, you know, right now she might be living by herself and she doesn't have a husband for now, but she's not alone. She just is living alone at the moment, you know, assuming that all her kids that she was talking about are grown and gone.
Yep.
But just wanted to enforce it to her that she is never alone, like you were saying. She's just
never
alone.
Never alone. No. She's got me.
You know?
I mean, if you're sitting there thinking you're alone, just go, but wait a minute, I have Mary Jo. I love you guys. So, and that comes from the bottom of my heart. So you have a lot of people out there that love you and care about you, and it's you're never alone. Unless you choose it. You follow? There are people that want to wear the badge of loneliness and being alone because it justifies. Remember, it's just like this book. We have this negative reflection of ourselves, and we can claim it because, you know what? It justifies then our lack of behavior, our lack of activities, or life not working out right for us because we have an excuse. Oh, my gosh. Police. I mean, police. Every time I hear people talk about things like that, I just say to myself, I said, why are you self-destructive? You have so much capacity. Every single human being, everyone on this call, every human being that breathes, which is every living human being, has tremendous capacity to make a difference in this world. And it's just choosing. But you can choose out of it because, you know, that's a cop-out, and it's available. And we see a lot of our society making those bad choices. So we need to be out there opening their eyes to the possibilities and potential, right? Amen.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Thank you, Mary.
You bet. You bet.
Awesome training, Mary Jo. Thank you so very, very much.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Okay, everybody, have a great week, and we'll be back next Monday. Bye, everyone.